This is a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek, where we welcome priests from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana to tell us their vocation stories. We are so grateful to and thankful for our priests as they serve us and bring us the sacraments daily.
This is Gordon Smith, and you're listening to the Sons of Melchizedek show, and I am interviewing today Father Eustace Tong. Welcome, Father Tong. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Father Tong is, and he likes to be called Father Eustace, so I'm going to refer to him as Father Eustace in this interview. Father Eustace is at St. Barnabas Church on the south side of Indianapolis. He is in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, but he's on loan from his home country of Myanmar. And his bishop is Bishop Lucius. He told me in the moments before this interview started that Bishop Lucius made several trips to the Archdiocese of Indianapolis because he had saw a need for the refugees from Myanmar to be ministered to, and that's why Father Eustace was reassigned here about 4 years ago. Is that right, Father?
That's right.
Now, how many refugees are there from Myanmar?
Here in Indianapolis, there are about 30,000 Burmese refugees.
30,000 Burmese refugees. So out of the 30,000 refugees, you said, about less than 1,000, maybe 500-600, are Roman Catholic in their religious background. So thank you for that answer, Father. And now you just said Burmese, but the name of the country was changed several years ago to Myanmar. But it is in Southeast Asia, and for our listening audience, we have Vietnam, Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, and then the next country up is Myanmar, now known as Myanmar, used to be known as Burma. It's on the border. His diocese is Hakkar. Did I say that right, Father?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Hakkar, and that diocese borders India. So if you get an idea of where that is on the map, it faces the Indian Ocean. So Father, tell us a little bit. You're a young priest. I won't give your exact age, but I would say that I have children about the same age as you. You are a priest for about 8 or 9 years, or what? When were you ordained?
8 years. I was ordained in 2015, March 8th.
March 8th, 2015. So that's into your eighth year now. And you were assigned to several parishes in your home country. What were those parishes?
Right after my ordination, I was assigned as associate pastor at Sacred Heart Church, northern part of Chin State. And after that, I was transferred to southern part of Chin State, St. Nicholas Parish, as a pastor, 2 years there, and after 2 years, Bishop Lucius sent me to the Archdiocese of Indianapolis here, St. Barnabas, to serve the Myanmar, especially the Hakachin speaking people to serve here.
Now, Father, I'm gonna throw you a trick question here. It's not that big of a trick question. Say something to your Burmese-speaking audience here that they will understand. I won't understand, but just give them a greeting of some type that they'll hear over the air.
Hello, Along Menglaba, General Father Eustace Pipare, who General the Archdiocese of Indianapolis Radio Sisin Kani Biroma, General Interview Lonira Pipare.
Thank you, Father. What did you say?
You're welcome. I just say, hello, everybody. So we're now doing interview for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis radio station.
Well, thank you, Father. Now, growing up in your home country, and you said something amazing to me in the pre-workup to this interview. You said you had, in your country, in your part of the country, in your diocese, there's over 50 spoken languages.
More than 50 different languages.
That is tough. How do you go to the grocery store? How do you commence business like that?
Thanks be to God. With all those speakers, are from mostly from rural areas.
Okay, and you yourself grew up in a rural area.
That's right.
So tell us a little bit about the country and the countryside, the atmosphere that you grew up in. Was it a city life, or was it a rural life, a farm or factory? How did that work for you?
A very remote area. 3 days walk far from the capital city of Chin State, Hakka. So that is, my village. My village is called Naring.
So this wasn't just hop in the car and drive to the capital city. You said 3 days.
Walk.
And you walked.
Yes, by foot. On foot.
And you had to carry the food that you
luggages,
needed?
Water? Blanket, water, rice.
Oh, my gosh.
But now we don't need to walk at all. We have a motorcycle, so everybody has motorcycles. So whenever we travel, we use motorcycle.
Well, that's a step up for sure. Father, when you were growing up, your parents, I think you said, were Catholic, but
that's
your
right.
grandparents weren't. And there was some change in your world where your parents moved to a new house and you were staying with your grandparents. Were they Protestant or did they have a church affiliation?
My parents were very good Catholics. When we stay together, they always bring me to Sunday Mass, Sunday morning Mass, and to Sunday school. But after they left from my grandparents' house, I used to go to Baptist Sunday school and Baptist Sunday services. But when I was in the fifth grade, my dad, he wanted me to go to the Catholic boarding house. Catholic boarding house and opened by Bishop Lucius. That time he was a pastor, Father Lucius. So
was this before he was the bishop, or
yes,
he was already?
He was before a bishop. He was assigned in our village as a pastor, as a priest. So I joined his boarding school from my sixth grade to eighth. So that time I was very inspired and impressed by his action, his lifestyle. So that really made me to become Catholic priest.
So he had a big influence on you.
That's right.
And you've known him for a long time as he was a parish priest, and then he got elevated to become a bishop, and he made that trip several trips to Indianapolis to pave the way for you to be here in Indianapolis.
That's right.
And it's you served down here at St. Barnabas Church, and we're about 5 miles south of 465 on the south side. But you also serve on another parish up here in Indianapolis. What parish is that?
2 years ago, I served both St. Mark, Burmese Catholic community, and St. Pius, Burmese community. But recently, Father John from Calais Diocese is here, arrived here, and now he's serving St. Mark's. But anyway, I'm still serving St. Pius X.
But you still go up to St. Pius.
That's right.
And what when you serve at any of these parishes, St. Barnabas, St. Pius, do you celebrate Mass in English or in Burmese?
I do in Burmese.
Okay. But it's the same Mass, right? We're one universal Holy Catholic Church.
That's right.
So it's the same Mass translations, just in a different language.
Yes, that's right. But I use Hakka Chin here in St. Barnabas, here at St. Barnabas.
Now, how far do your parishioners of Burmese descent or refugee status, how far do they come to go to Mass here? Do they come...
They just
from an hour
here.
Away, or
no? They just live here
in around this area.
Here. Yes, but pretty close, around 10 minutes drive, 15 minutes drive, not more than that.
I'm sure they're very thankful to have you serving up here to help them celebrate Mass. Father, this is Gordon Smith, and I am interviewing Father Eustace Tong. He is from Burma. His hometown is Hakka. They say it right?
That's right.
Yes, thank you. Hakka Diocese. And he has been here for 4 years. serving at the bequest of Bishop Lucius, serving the refugee and immigrant population of the Burmese people from Myanmar. Now, Myanmar is a country that is undergoing some political difficulties right now and persecutions. So is it dangerous to live in Myanmar right now?
Right now, yes. The people's life is not safe. You know, anytime, you know, they can be killed, you know, anytime they can be chased out. So this time is very, very unsafe and dangerous.
And you still have family there?
I do. Yes, I do.
Is your father and mother, are they still living?
Yes, they are living, and they are in remote area, very far village.
But are they in any kind of danger, do you think, feel?
So mostly all these conflicts are happening in cities
in
and big
city.
Cities.
Mm-hmm.
And some, you know, villages, but all those things are happening in mostly in Lower Burma.
Lower Burma, and you are from Upper Burma.
That's right.
North side of the country, north end, that borders India. Now, when you are up at St. Pius, I think you also work with Father Francis up there. He is an Indian priest. So do you have a lot in common with him, or is that a totally different language even yet?
I don't speak India, but, you know, Father Francis is a good priest, so we always have a conversation about, you know, our ministries.
Surely. Well, thank you for your ministry. Thank you for your desire to become a Catholic priest, and I'm grateful that your parents were Catholic. And that your grandparents didn't show you any, did they have any trepidation about you becoming a Catholic priest since they weren't Catholic themselves, they were Baptist?
Unfortunately, they passed away before I became a priest.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that. But they were Baptist, your parents were Catholic, and you went to St. Joseph Seminary?
St. Joseph Catholic Major Seminary in Yangon, Myanmar.
How big of a seminary is that? How many seminarians?
When I was in the seminary, all the seminarians were more than 100.
More than 100.
That's right.
Okay. In seminary, you learned about the Holy Eucharist. You learned about the true, real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Indianapolis in 2024, we're going to be having a Eucharistic revival. Is that a thing that Burmese people have a trouble understanding or believing in, the true presence?
We Catholic, whether you are Burmese or whether you are English speaker, whoever you are, we firmly believe the presence of Jesus Christ and the appearance of, you know, bread. So I don't think so.
Well, that's good to know. And some people born in this country have a hard time believing that. And it's I've heard as high as 70% don't believe in that way. And so we're hopeful that this Eucharistic revival will have positive effect on that and have people understand that that is truly Jesus on the altar. And you do the miracle, so thank you for them doing the miracle.
You're welcome.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I do have one brother here, very close to me. And back to Myanmar, I have two sisters and three brothers. So altogether, we are seven.
But one of your brothers is here in this country.
That's right.
Here in this
in
area, Indianapolis.
Yes, just 5 minute drive from St. Barnabas.
Oh, good. I'm glad. That's nice to have somebody from home
to
be with you.
That's right.
This is Gordon Smith, and I'm interviewing Father Eustace today from he's assigned at St. Barnabas, and this is the Sons of Melchizedek program. We'll be right back.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back. This is Gordon Smith. You're listening to the Sons of Melchizedek. I'm interviewing today Father Eustace Tong. He is from Burma, now known as Myanmar, And he is here in Indianapolis at two parishes, St. Barnabas on the south side and St. Pius on the north side. And he has been at St. Mark part of that time as well. But there's a large, I didn't realize this, roughly 30,000 Burmese refugees and immigrants in this area that he ministers to. That's a huge number, and we're thankful that he is here, that his home bishop, Bishop Lucius, allowed him to come to this country to do that. So we're very grateful, Father. Thank you. Thank you for your vocation. But you were telling me on the break an interesting story about the Burmese people coming to Mass, and we were talking a little bit about the true real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist and why they come to Mass. Could you explain that, Father?
Yes, I do. So most of them do not speak, I understand English, but they are very faithful to come and participate in the Mass. And so before I came here, a lot of people told me that, you know, although we don't understand what the priest was preaching, but we just, you know, go to the Mass because of, you know, Jesus, because to receive Jesus, not for the preaching, not for, you know, any other reason, but just to receive Jesus.
And you worked on that homily so hard, Father. And they were not there for you. They were there for the miracle you performed on the altar, which is body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me about the belief in that. And it sounds like it's a very strong belief amongst Burmese people, but you also celebrate Mass here in English for the parishioners down here. Some of those folks don't have that belief, and what would you tell them about your home country and the belief that the folks from Burma and Myanmar have in the true presence? And explain if there's some way that we can help people that don't have a strong belief to have a stronger belief.
In the gospel, Jesus firmly say that if you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man, you will not have life. If you do not drink the blood of the Son of Man, you will not have eternal life. So we are here on earth and journey to heaven. So if, you know, we do not believe and we do not eat his flesh and his blood, we cannot have eternal life. So the Eucharist is for Christians the source and summit in our life.
But even some of the followers of Jesus at that time said, this is a hard teaching. How can we believe it? And they walked away, and Jesus did not go after them. He didn't say, I was just talking figuratively. I was not making a factual statement there. He didn't say that. He meant what he said, didn't he? What is your favorite Bible story or quote, Father Eustace?
My motto is, Your will be done. Luke chapter 1:38. The Blessed Virgin Mary, she did not understand, you know, what's going on, the conversation, but finally she just said, I'm just the handmaid of the Lord. You know, let everything happen to me according to your will.
That was the great fiat that she accepted that responsibility. So thank you for pointing that out. That's a great reference there, Father. Are there things that people can do in this parish or up at St. Pius that would make your life easier, or things that you'd like to ask your parishioners to do? You asked me to talk slowly and to not give you any trick questions, and I've tried hard not to do that. So tell us about that and how you want your parishioners to, what would make your life easier?
From the perspective of Myanmar people, Burmese people, they always think that the priest is, you know, perfect, you know, holy, you know, he might not need anything. But what I would like to send a message is, you know, the priests are also human beings. We are not from heaven. We are not angels. That's why we need a lot of support and a lot of, you know, prayer. I think that is the most important. I would like to send message to my Burmese people.
Amen. Amen. We're all human. We all have sin, original sin. I agree. A lot of people think the priests never sin, but you go to confession just like I go to confession, right?
That's right.
When the need is arises. When you were growing up, before you became had the vocation, which I think you told me around fifth, sixth grade.
Yes,
when you started having that feeling.
That's right.
And was there did you go to high school, or what was the educational situation in Myanmar?
So back to Myanmar, you know, we have three levels of, seminary. Mm-hmm. We have minor seminary, we have intermediate seminary, we have major seminary. So minor seminary is like a kind of high school.
Okay.
High school level. And intermediate seminary is a kind of college level, and major seminaries, you know, where we learn, you know, philosophy, you know, theology. So after staying with Bishop Lucius in his boarding house like 3 years, he sent me to the minor seminary, to learn, you know, more about Christ, you know, Catholic teachings. And from that I moved to intermediate seminary, you know, the same place in Kalemie, and then after that we have to do entrance examination in order to join a major seminary. So that time altogether, 100 plus candidate set for examination, but only more than around 32 or 33, you know, passed the exam.
I see. And these were all men.
All men.
No ladies.
Right. No ladies. Because to become a priest.
Of course. Of course. But even in minor seminary, so you didn't have, did you have formal education prior to minor seminary?
How yes,
did
we
you
do.
Learn to
we
read
do.
And
we
write?
Have catechism. We have some part of the church teaching. Basic catechism we learn.
And so that was with men and women, or just men?
Just men.
Do women have the opportunity to have an education in Myanmar?
Yes, we have different kinds of congregation. So lots of young girls mm-hmm. learn the education in the boarding school opened by the nuns.
I see. Oh, so you have nuns in Myanmar
yes,
as well?
Yes, we do.
And what orders are they from?
Like different kinds of nuns. You know, we have St. Joseph, St. Franciscan nuns, St. Teresa. Yeah, we have our Lord.
I see. Tell me, Father, tell our audience, please, what your favorite sacrament is.
My favorite sacrament is celebrating the Mass.
Okay. And doing the miracle.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Thank you for your vocation. It is so important that we encourage our young men to consider a vocation. And the vocation can be in the priesthood, or it can be a married vocation. We all have a vocation, of course. But thank you for considering the priestly vocation in your home country. And thank you for your time here in Indianapolis. We hope you stay for a while.
I hope so.
Bishop Lucius continues this arrangement. So is there anything you'd like to tell your Burmese speaking? Did I get that right? Is it what we call Burmese speaking, or?
Mostly here in Indianapolis, lots of people call, you know, Burmese speaking, Burmese community.
Okay. Yeah. Is there anything you'd like to tell them in particular? Because when we finish this interview, we'll let the parish secretary know, and we'll send out the information in the parish bulletin about this interview. So is there anything you'd like to tell them about your vocation or about your background, Father?
Okay, can I speak in Burmese?
You sure can.
Kuchinru interview lo ni da garo di indi Catholic radio ka ni phit par de so ro di ma yong ji tu ba ta win ta thami paung no ko ma chin na ka phong ji di ha mu kaung kyan ni sin ta la ra mho bu ta cha ta ma ni le mho bu lu da the ka lu da phit de twet yan phong no ji di twet mye dan su taung pe ja ba tu lo le be lu da phit de ka ma a pe ska di no lo de da chaung mye dan ko ye chaung nai phong no ji di no no di ma shi ni le phong no ji a long twet su taung chin yan pin do la kaung khon a pe ska pyo pe chin pin do la kaung mye dan ku yin ja ba lo a ma ska pa chin ba de.
Thank you, Father. One last question, a closing question I have for the interview today. And this is Gordon Smith, by the way, and we're interviewing Father Eustace Tong, and he's from Miramar, but stationed at St. Barnabas down here on the south side of Indianapolis in the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. What would you say to parents that have a young man that might be considering a vocation? What is the best course of action for them in this country or in Miramar for them to encourage their son to consider a religious vocation?
I think the best time for giving information is when they go to school. When they go to school, I think that is the best time, you know, for children, you know, to learn about, you know, vocations.
But should they be open to it or heavy-handed? You know, what is the right attitude and stance for them to take? Should they be open to a vocation, or should they hit their son over the head? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I think, you know, bringing to the seminary, you know, visiting the seminary, research and talk about various religious vocations, allow them to ask questions and don't temper their curiosity. You know, ultimately, you know, it is God, you know, who called them.
Right, right. Absolutely. We need to trust in God's providence. And God really, sometimes we think we know what we want to do or have accomplished with ourselves or our children, but it's really God that's at the driver's controls there, right?
Yes.
We've been interviewing Father Eustace Tong of the Diocese of Haka, which is on the north end of Miramar. And I'm sorry if I'm butchering the language. I'm doing my best, Father. But he is here in Indianapolis to minister to 30,000 or so immigrant and refugee status Burmese-speaking people. And he's done so at the bequest of his own bishop, who is Bishop Lucius, but also through Archbishop Thompson here in Indianapolis that sees the need and fills the need. So thank you for your interview today, Father. God bless you. We appreciate your vocation, and thank you for being a Catholic priest.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek. Join us again next time when we'll feature another priest from the area. If you are interested in having your priest appear on this show, please contact us at Catholic Radio Indy.